also already blessed. We have different messages that we've already heard here in this service. The message that we have here, we didn't hear that, but we see it. And that's the whole armor of God, and that's a good message. And then we also heard in the songs the blessing that we have and the messages that are there. Two of my favorite songs we sang this morning, 105, talks about how Christ is the one that lives in my throne, and yet he's in my heart, and yet he's in heaven, and that's just good stuff. Together as a church this morning, our time here is centered around God's Word. In John chapter 1, verse 1, it says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. That Word is Jesus Christ. And Colossians chapter 1, verse 18 says that he has the preeminence. And it is my desire this morning, and I believe it's all of our desire, that we keep Christ in the center, that Christ is the main reason why we're here. And we are told in God's Word what we are to do with his Word. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3:16, excuse me. 2 Timothy 3:16, and I just want to spend a few minutes there before we go on to the main message this morning. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good word. And why did I bring all of this up? I'm trying to tie it all together, and that is that Jesus is the Word, and Jesus has the preeminence, and his Word teaches us these things. His Word teaches us doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, which is something that needs to be preached more, I think, and that is that the holiness that God wants of us, and that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And this is important to me, too. And I hope it's important to all of you. And that is that we get together. I often find myself sitting in the pews asking the question to myself, why do we do this? And I do that consciously. And the reason I do that is because if we're not conscious about that, it becomes a normal everyday thing. But if we are conscious about why are we getting together, and I remind myself why we're getting together, and I remind myself that this is the reason, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Too many times, it is seen as church starts at 11. I propose to you that church actually starts when we leave here. That's when church starts. When we go out into the world and wherever it is that we are, that is when church starts. And I think it's very important that we keep focusing on that and keep reminding ourselves of that. And maybe you might think, you're going to do that for the next 20 years or next 15 years. Are you going to do that? Well, it's been done for almost 2,000 years, or maybe over 2,000 years. We don't know exactly. So it's not going to get old. It is something that continues and continues to be new. The focus for this morning, what I want to share with you this morning, is something that all of us have. There's nobody in this room exempt from it. I think there's every once in a while there's someone exempt from it. But pretty much everybody has this. And so it's for all of us. The instruction for this morning is something that we as Christians need to be reminded of. It is part of following Christ. It is part of who we are and what we do. And that something is our speech. All of us speak, do we not? Or speak when we should. Or we don't speak when we should. All of us have speech. All of us have the Word in our mouth. And all of us need to be dealing with that. And this morning, I want to simply say this. If you have the discipline of your speech, then may this morning serve as an encouragement to you. But if you do not, then may this simply encourage you to practice that discipline, to learn, and that's what I simply want to do this morning, is just go over it with you, just go over the whole thing about what we speak, the tongue, how important it is, because we can use our tongue either for good or for evil. Our tongue is a powerful thing. James talks about it in chapter 3. Of his book, he talks about our speech and he talks about how important that is. And we're going to spend some time with that this morning. I want to just encourage you. I wish every one of you, as we look at the scripture here in 2 Timothy 3, where it says that every man may be complete. Whether we acknowledge it or are conscious of it, you, as an individual, you carry this weight with you and you have the ability to speak, and people know who you are by what you say or don't say. And this morning, I just simply want to encourage you that we get into that. What we say or do can be used for good or evil. Most of us do not realize how powerful our speech is. I think if we would realize how powerful our speech is, and that's the first point I want to make this morning, that what you say is important, or what you don't say is important. It is important that we speak in what we speak. Too many of us don't think that it has no weight what I say. There's no reason for me to be conscious about it because nobody's listening to me anyway. That's just not true. The truth is all of us have something to say. And I want to go with you to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. There's a couple of verses there that are very good when it comes to this. And Proverbs is full of encouragement over speech. And I want to spend some time with Proverbs this morning. Most of our time will be spent in Proverbs. I could easily spend some time in James chapter 3. There's quite a bit there as well about the whole speech, about our speech and our tongue and how important it is. But we're going to spend some time going through Proverbs. Not a lot of verses, but a few, as you can see already. I want to spend some time with that. And the reason I want to do that is because it's simply a reminder to us. Starting in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, I'd like to already bring to your attention something that's important here. And that important thing is that starting in verse 16, it says, "These six things the Lord hates." And for the longest time, it baffled me what he meant with that second portion there. He says, "Yes, and seven are an abomination to him," until I read that in High German. And in High German, it comes out stronger. And once I read it in the High German, it came out, and then I saw that it's here as well, very clearly. These things the Lord hates, these six things. And then the seventh one, he hates even more. That's what verse 16 is saying. So here are what he hates: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. We see several times here in this portion of Scripture where he talks about our speech. He starts off by saying what I already said in verse 16, and then in verse 17 he says a lying tongue. So we see speech is lifted up there once, and then we move on, and then it says, and it has several other things, and obviously one of the things that it's talking about is the heart, and we could talk about the heart, but we won't talk about the heart this time. And then in 19 it says a false witness who speaks lies, and then a brother or one who sows discord among the brethren. These three things all have to do with our speech. They have to do with a lying tongue. That means when we're not being truthful. A false witness, that's also being not truthful. But that can be done in many different ways. Lying is simply done with the tongue, and a witness can sometimes be a witness without saying a word. That's important that we learn that too. And the last one, sowing discord, that is also done, that is by word, and you cannot do that otherwise. One of the things that I want to say to us this morning, and I believe all of you are with me on this page, and that is simply that we don't make excuses for ourselves. In what I'm bringing forward this morning, maybe you already know you have something that you need to work with in this area, and then what we do in a time like this, we take that and say, yes, I want to apply that to my life. We don't make excuses for ourselves when we know that we are out of line in some area of our life. It is a world of difference. The difference between just simply admitting that I've got a problem with this and saying, no, I don't, is huge. And this morning, I want to encourage you that you would just simply do that. Don't make excuses for yourself. And as you listen to what the Scripture has to say, that you would simply say, I need to learn here, I need to grow here, and that we move forward. In Luke chapter 6, verse 45, there it talks about the heart, and we often hear it's a heart issue, and so that's all we need to talk about. I want to tell you this morning that I simply believe that if God had intended for that to be the case, that there would only be a few chapters in the whole Bible, and the few chapters would be is that God created the heavens and the earth, and that Jesus came and died for our sins on the cross, and that we should love the Lord our God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and body, and that we should love our neighbor as ourselves. That's all we need, right? So why do we have the rest of the Scripture? This is a heart issue. It says clearly here, it says a good man, Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. There's no question that this is a heart issue. So why not just talk about the heart? Well, the Bible lifts up these other things, and in order to be balanced and have a balanced teaching, we need to lift other things up as well. And that's what I want to do this morning, is to simply just concentrate on this issue this morning, because, not that I've heard anything about anybody, just because it hasn't been brought up here in a long time. You can go through our website if you want and see the different messages, and you'll see that hasn't been spoken about in a long time. And so this morning, it is important that we, again, remind ourselves about this. The greatest battlefield that a Christian has is between your ears. There is no greater battle. If you can conquer what's between your ears, your speech will be adjusted, and I realize that. So that's all we need to talk about, right? No. Sometimes we need to bring it to our own attention that this is an area that I need to work on, and then we bring it back to the attention. The heart is deceitfully wicked and above all things, very, very good at deceiving you. Most of us don't admit, or somehow or another, we hide things from ourselves. And this is one of those things, and we need to be reminded. So we see three things here in Proverbs 6 that the Word is telling us to do. It talks about that God has a hate towards those who sow discord among brothers, and it all comes from words. So the tongue is an instrument that God has given you. Can you imagine living without your tongue? There are a few people in this world that don't have speech, right? They have an impediment. They can't talk. They have problems. Do we see it as a gift from God that God has given me a tongue to speak? You can, and I know language is an imperfect medium for communication. I realize that. But still you're able to communicate what you're thinking, what you're dwelling on, what your heart is all about. You can actually bring that out. Can you imagine not being able to do that? Is it not a gift that you can speak? If it is a gift, it's a gift from God. And what did I do for a gift? Nothing. When I give you a gift or you give me a gift, what did I do for that gift? Nothing. It's a gift. And so is our speech. Our speech is a gift that God has given us to use. And it's an instrument that he wants us to use. And so if we use it for the wrong purpose, then we're taking the gift that he has given us and using it for ourselves. They started building a church on Friday in Brownfield. They had to buy the land that building is going to be sitting on, or is partially sitting on. So if that land had been given to the church to build a church and use as a church, and then they would use that for something else, the person who gave the land would not be pleased, and he would have a reason not to be pleased. The same thing is with our tongue. God has given us the tongue, the ability to speak, so now we should use it for him. It is something that he wants us, it's an instrument that he wants us to use for him, and we should use it for a good cause. And so many times it is not used for that. I'm going to concentrate first on, if you can call it that, and I hate to use that term because often that's the only way that people get it, but it's not really the truth. And that is the first portion of this that I want to talk about. The tongue has to do with the negative things that we say, the negative things of our speech. And I don't really think it's negative if the scripture has it. It's just simply truth. And it's the part of the truth that's sharper than the other truth that we often don't want to see. What we need to see is that God has given this to us and that we simply need to use it for him. So I have the question, and we look at these scripture references here. Is every time you say an untruth, is it always a lie? Because that's what it's talking about here. It's talking about a lying tongue. So what is lying? I sometimes hear people say something like this. The other day I told you such and such, and I lied to you. I try to correct people every time I hear that. It's not right. If you tell me something, and it's not correct, and you told it to me thinking it was correct, that's not a lie. A lie is when you do it intentionally, you know the truth, and you say something else. That is a lie. So when you say something wrong to someone, and you didn't intend to say it wrong, you simply said something that wasn't factual, and you got the facts later, that's not a lie. Now, it's fine to go back and say, hey, what I told you the other day was wrong, and here's the correct facts. But don't call it a lie. Let's leave lies to what lies are, and lies are when you intentionally deceive someone, when you intentionally lead somebody down the wrong path. And the reason it's important that we separate the two is because a lie becomes something not so bad when it's something when I misspoke or when I had wrong facts. Habitual lying, I believe, is what it's talking about here. Someone who habitually, out of habit, for their own benefit and for their own sake, are always telling dishonest things. That is a lie. And that's what it's talking about here. It says a lying tongue. And I'm not, by this, trying to put a pillow under you, telling you that if you have told a lie occasionally that you're okay. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm simply trying to bring out that there's a difference. When we intentionally hurt somebody or we're intentionally trying to gain something for whatever reason it is. I want to speak to the parents a little bit, and this is some of the things that I believe that are very important when it comes to our tongue. And some of those things are things like this. When you're raising your kids and your child does something that he or she shouldn't do or maybe has done once or twice, and it's very detrimental for the children if you start saying things like, you never do anything right. Those are cutting words that will cut to the soul of that child, and that child will carry that into his adult life or her adult life. It is not a healthy thing to do. That you never do anything right needs to be erased out of your vocabulary. There needs to be correction, but saying you never do anything right is not what is not what God wants us to do. Or something like, and this is for yourselves, nothing ever works for me. Really? You've had 100 things that you did, and one of those went wrong, and 99 went right, and now you say, nothing ever works for me? Those are not healthy speech. That is not healthy speech. Healthy speech is when we allow it to be what it should be. Instead of saying, nothing ever works right, you simply change your habit and say, this one didn't work for me, let's try again. Gossip is another one that needs attention. What is gossip? Gossip is when we're repeating things for no reason. Maybe to make ourselves feel important, or maybe I have some agenda that I want to accomplish, and I'm going to accomplish it this way. And I feel confident that everybody in this room has partaken in gossip somewhere. I have asked myself sometimes when you go and visit on a Sunday afternoon and you sit around and visit, if there was no gossip, how much visiting would go on? To change those kinds of habits is not an easy thing. And I said earlier that the battleground is between our ears. And to change how we think and learn to do that is crucial and very important. I simply want to encourage you this morning. That's all I'm trying to do, is that we rethink. And also reminding you to consciously, whenever you're visiting with someone, that you ask yourself the question, why am I sharing what I'm sharing? I believe this is important characteristic of a child of God who is trying to look like Christ. Not everybody in this room, some of you might from the home have been taught to speak the positive things, to speak the good things, but because of the fallen nature, I think most of us by nature are complainers and are always looking for negative things. We're always looking to point out things that are not good. Proverbs chapter 18, just a little bit further. Chapter 12. Chapter 12 and verse 18. The first part of the verse there says, there is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword. I'm sure you've experienced this on both sides. You have heard things that cut you deep, and you've said things that cut others deep. And now I want to switch this whole thing over to what I want to encourage you to do, where we should try to go. And that is the second part of that verse. It says, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. If you didn't grow up with this, it's quite the challenge to learn to do this. I challenge you to try it. I challenge you to consciously analyze yourself and listen to yourself for a while. Not so much so that you go beating up on yourself all the time. That's not what I'm trying to do. But that you would simply think about what you're doing. This second part of the verse that says, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Have you ever been encouraged? Maybe you were down and somebody came and spoke to you, and when that person left, you felt lifted. I find myself drawn to people like that. I find myself, when I go visit with someone and I have drawn life from them, that I want to go back. The next time I sense that I need life, then I'm thinking about that person. Chapter 15 and verse 1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Sometimes we don't even mean to do what we're doing, but we say something so sharp, we say it in such a way that if we'll just rethink what we're doing, we can say what we're saying and still accomplish a lot. And if you'll go back to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 17, he who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness is deceit. These are beautiful words. These are the words of God. When we simply learn and we come to that place where we learn to be that well of life. Does that make me a hypocrite if I'm not feeling good and I choose to say good things to you? I don't believe so. That word hypocrite is thrown around way too much in our society. When you're trying to do good and you're not feeling good, that doesn't make you a hypocrite. That makes you someone who's trying. A hypocrite is, again, someone who's putting on a show with intention of changing people's minds and hearts for something that is not truth. The word hypocrite actually means actor. If we're acting out a life that isn't truth, that is one thing. But if we're simply being an encouragement to others, even though you yourself may not feel encouraged, that person will start bringing it back to you, and you will start feeling and noticing that happen in your life as well. In Proverbs 10:11 says, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. A well of life. What is a well? A well is something that is used regularly. It's not something spontaneous. It's not a spring that just spews up water every once in a while. A well is something that keeps on giving. All of us here around here know what wells are. We drop a pump in there, and that thing pumps water. We could get water all the time. And, of course, when it was talking about it here, there were wells where they dropped buckets in there and drew water out. And it was something that stayed there. They could depend on it to do it again and again. And here it says that the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. Let's practice this, brothers and sisters. Let's practice doing this. The negative part, or the other side of this, is right there again, right away. It says, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. It is the other side of that. So simply as you have enjoyed when somebody encouraged you and you took life from that, I would say this. Go and do the same. It was good for you. You sensed how it was. Why don't you want to do the same? There's a real danger of hearing a message like this and thinking, I'm just not going to say anything. I'm going to be quiet from now on. That's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture is not telling us to just be quiet. The Scripture that we have here says the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. That means they speak. I said earlier that it is important what we speak. It's not just keeping it quiet. These verses bring it out very clearly, and I want to challenge both of you, both sides of, you know, I'll just be honest with you and confess, I don't happen to be the type that doesn't say anything in a circle of friends when I'm there. I usually share my opinion, and I have often left feeling I should have said less. But I've also experienced where there was a conversation going on that was a very important conversation, that there was one person that didn't say anything. And that person later said, I should have said such and such, or I thought such and such. That's not good enough. If you know to say something good, you need to do it. Now, I want to be very careful with this. We need to be very careful that we don't all start being what I just confessed to you, what I don't appreciate about myself, and that is when I speak too much. But I also want to challenge those on the other side. It is your responsibility when you hear falsehoods, when you hear things that are not truth, and you remain silent, you're speaking, you're with your life, you're living, you're walking into that, you're leading into that, you're encouraging that. So those of you who are quiet, I want to challenge you too. It's good to listen, and then when you hear something that needs to be said, then you need to say it. Now, one of the things that we need to learn is we need to learn to say things respectfully, kindly. We don't need to be saying things that cut people. And usually it reveals the heart, whether we like it or not. It reveals where we're at. So I'm not saying you shouldn't say anything. I'm saying what we should say is what it says here, that the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. It also is not teaching us that speaking the truth is negative. Too many times when someone speaks in truth, it is viewed as negative. When it isn't negative at all, when that person legitimately has a love and a concern for where you're at and simply wants to correct you. I personally believe that about 90% of our problems are believing wrong things. Believing correct things frees us. That's why Jesus said, the truth will set you free, not falsehoods. And it's really, really hard to work those things out of ourselves to move on. And it's really helpful when we have someone who shares the truth with us and we can walk away sensing that he didn't do it to just stab me or to poke me, but he simply was sharing the truth. Allow that in your life. Allow that truth to continue. Let's not confuse speaking truth as being negative, neither holding truth back as positive, or maybe telling the other person something that really isn't true. Maybe we're trying to pump him up or her up, and then we're not sharing the truth. That's not the truth either. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, verse 19 and through 21 says, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. And this is what I was talking about earlier. Many times, those that speak too much will sin simply because they spoke too much. Now, we want to keep that balance. But he who restrains his tongue, restrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the righteous is as choice silver. This is what I'm talking about. That well of life, when you speak the right things, they are like choice silver. You eat them up and you say, I love it. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but the fools die for lack of wisdom. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich and adds no sorrow with it. I'm going to close with Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36 and 37. This has become really big to me lately. My goal this morning was simply to encourage all of us to be this well of life, to ask ourselves, where am I at? What am I doing? Is it good? Is it bad? And I know this stuff is all a lot of work, and many times we get tired of it and don't want to mess with it. Well, the alternative is not good. The alternative is we will get ourselves in trouble, and this is not pleasing to the Lord. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36, all of us know this verse from little on. It says, but I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account on the day of judgment. Absolutely. But we didn't see what verse 37 says. It says, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. This is truth. May God simply teach us to be these people who are people of who have a well of life in us, and we share that with people, and also truth. You have to get past that idea that if you're going to share something with someone that is not pleasing, that won't be pleasing to them for the time being, that is not negative. You're simply wanting to do what's right. Now, if we're wanting to do it for the wrong reason, that's a different story. So may God simply bless his word. May he further walk with us. It is my intention to simply lift these things up, move forward as a church, to learn to look and sound more like Christ. When we do youth instruction classes or new life classes, there's a section in there that we teach that we call, what does a Christian look like? And everybody likes that, right? What does a Christian look like, right? What is he dressed, right? No, I'm talking about when people think of you, what do they see? When someone thinks of you, what is it that they get in their mind? What kind of picture do they have of you? And we can simply all try to do that ourselves, and I personally want to challenge us that we will do that. So let's stand for prayer.